Nature Fix is proudly sponsored by Craghoppers, one of the UK's favourite outdoor gear experts. Craghoppers and the National Trust have joined forces to create a collection inspired by nature and designed for life. Sales from the range help to support the National Trust's vital work, restoring some of our incredible natural landscapes, from delicate wetlands to boggy peatlands. Together, we are working to look after nature and care for our landscapes for generations to come. Hello and welcome to Nature Fix with me, Claire Hickenbotham. Each month we take you with us to meet the people whose lives have been changed by the outdoors and join them in a place that most inspires them. Today we're joining astronomer and adventure lover Nazanin Jahan Shahi in the middle of Manchester. Naz shows us how the city centre might look an unlikely place for a celestial tour, but look up and you'll be amazed at what you might see. And this winter's evening, we're in for a treat. We're looking at stars, a rare planetary parade, and getting tips on hunting for the Northern Lights. So let's wrap up warm for an awe-inspiring city stargazing voyage.
We're actually in Manchester city centre right now, and there is a lot of traffic, lots of people, lots of light pollution, which would seem like a pretty unusual place to talk about the night sky, but I think there's a lot up there that people can still see. So we're going to go for a little walk and see what we can see. I'm Naz. My love of the skies kind of began when I was around 7 years old. My granddad used to ask me to point out the moon in the sky. Then when it came to high school and actually studying, you know, sciences, physics ended up being my favourite subject. And when it came to studying something at university, I chose physics with astrophysics. I've gone on to work at Kielder Observatory. Other hobbies have come into that now. So I'm a climber. We love to go everywhere in the country. So I'm still very much an outdoorsy person. I spend a lot of time outside, but I still do try and find time to look up and look at the skies. Even on my journey to and from work, I will always be looking up. It's not always the safest thing to do, as I do ride a motorbike. And yeah, all of that has come into it, but that's essentially me. This is Deansgate around rush hour, and the skies are just starting to completely darken. So we've ventured off the main road and we're just walking through Castle Field. There's still lots and lots of lights around, but there's just a little quiet area. There's no lights directly above us, and that's allowed us to see a little bit more of the sky.
Anyone can enjoy the stars just by looking up on a clear night. And on this particular evening, there's a lot to see up in space. But if you want to understand more about what you're looking at, Naz says there are some great books or apps to get you started.
The most commonly used app is called Stellarium, and it's free, and it's got all of the information you could possibly need about the night sky. So it's one of the best tools that you can take out with you for the first time. We are looking at an incredibly clear winter night at the moment, and it's still darkening a little bit. It's just past sort of 6 o'clock. So we're still waiting for the skies to get completely dark, but the brightest objects have at this point kind of revealed themselves. Looking at the sky in, like I say, Manchester city centre, the brightest objects that we can actually see after the sun and the moon are the planets, when they are in the sky. And at the moment, we do have the planetary parade going on. Immediately after sunset, we do have quite a few of the planets in the sky, and the brightest of those is Venus. After the sun and the moon, Venus is the brightest object in the sky. So I can see that that is not twinkling, it's not moving, and there are no flashing lights. So I'm definitely looking at a planet, and that is the planet Venus. Interesting fact about Venus is that it is incredibly close to our planet in terms of size. Some people think of it as our sister planet, but it is very different in composition. The atmosphere of Venus is incredibly toxic. It has sulfur in its atmosphere. lots of cloud. It's very, very hot. It's actually the hottest planet in our solar system. Even though it isn't the closest planet to the sun, it is the hottest because of that cloudy atmosphere that traps all of that heat. So not necessarily a planet that we would ever really want to spend a lot of time on. Moving over towards the sort of darker part of the night sky, away from the sunset, we can see another bright object. And that bright object is the planet Jupiter, the biggest planet in our solar system. It's absolutely massive. So even though it is on the other side of the asteroid belt, it is incredibly far away from us. It is still very, very bright in the night sky. It is a gas giant planet. So it is mainly composed of gas, and that gas is whipping around the planet at incredibly high speeds. One feature that can be spotted on Jupiter, if you have a very, very good telescope, and if you are in darker skies, better conditions, you can see Jupiter's Great Red Spot, which is essentially a massive storm, kind of like a tornado or a hurricane, happening on Jupiter that is just swirling around, and it creates this red spot within that gas that's spinning around the planet. That has changed shape and changed size throughout our lifetimes, and it's really interesting watching it evolve, and we can learn lots about what's going on that planet. But that Great Red Spot is about 2 or 3 times the size of our planet. It is absolutely huge. The next bright object that we can see is the planet Mars, and you can very evidently, again, in the centre of Manchester, with all of this light pollution around, you can still see the orange colour in that planet. So Mars has its red colour because of the iron that exists on the surface. So a lot of people call it the red planet, and people aren't always sure what that red colour comes from. There's a lot of iron on that planet, and it has oxidised. So it essentially is covered with rust. So it's very bright in the sky. It's very orange. We have rovers on Mars. We've sent missions to Mars to bring back Martian soil. So we are learning lots about Mars, and we perhaps might see people on Mars within our lifetimes. So we're going to move on from this location. We're going to move on to Castelfield Bowl, which is a sort of a hotspot that people go and sit around. But we're going to continue looking up at the sky and see what we can see. We're currently walking past Castelfield Viaduct. I think Manchester in general does have quite a lot of really lovely viaducts, and they really add to the sort of infrastructure of the whole place and keeps it at its roots, I think. When I want to get away from the light pollution and I really want to do some serious observing, whether it's with a telescope or a pair of binoculars, or simply if there is a meteor shower happening and I want to be somewhere dark so I could catch even the smallest of shooting stars passing across the sky, I will venture further out. And my go-to place around Manchester is the Peak District. There's lots and lots of areas that you can go to, and there's plenty of resources that we can use as well to discover the darker skies a little bit closer to us. So if you go onto Google and you type in dark sky maps, the sky darkness is essentially measured and plotted on maps. So we can see exactly where it might be darker around our area. And even if it's only marginally darker than where you live, it still makes a huge difference. But light pollution is a massive problem for not only researchers trying to do research on space and what's out there, but also just general human life and nature as well. Our circadian rhythms can be massively affected by artificial light, and we are absolutely surrounded by it at this point. There's no getting away from it unless you go to incredibly isolated places. And personally, I think it causes us to lose touch with our surroundings, the nature around us. I think it's also really profound being able to look up at the night sky and think about what's out there. Think about the true scale of what's out there and how incredibly unlikely it is that we've come into existence, and consider all of these things and our place in the universe. And I think when we can't see the night sky, you kind of start to lose touch of that. You lose touch of what it really means to spend time on planet Earth.
Naz reaches Castlefield Bowl, Manchester's famous open-air music venue. It gives big views of the darkening sky, and Naz takes a front-row seat for the stars putting on their celestial show.
We've arrived at Castlefield Bowl, and we've got quite a nice view of the sky. We can see quite a big patch of it, and we're going to have a little sit-down and talk about some of the other celestial bodies and then go on to aurora hunting. So looking up at the skies, usually the first place that I would recommend kind of beginning your journey around the night sky is by looking for the North Star. And the way that we find the North Star is by looking for the Big Dipper, and they're seven stars that make up the shape of a pan. And once you've spotted the Big Dipper, from there, it becomes quite easy to navigate your way around the sky. So the way that we find the North Star is by finding the two stars that make up the sort of the pan edge, so the opposite side to the pan handle, those two stars. You draw a line between those two stars, and then you keep on drawing that line through the sky, up, away from the pan. And the next bright star that you get to, or the next brighter star that you get to, that star there is the North Star. A common mistake that people make is that the North Star is the brightest star in the sky. It's not. It's actually somewhere around the sort of 50th brightest in the sky. It's not a particularly bright star at all. But again, from the centre of Manchester, I can still see it. And that is a star that will not move no matter what season we're in, no matter what time of the day it is. It will always remain in the exact same spot. So it's a really good place to sort of anchor yourself in the sky, and from there you can work your way out to the other constellations immediately around it. So there are some nights where we can't see the moon, or we see it a little bit later on. When the moon is at its fullest phase, it is essentially on the opposite side of the sun in where it appears in the sky. So as the sun sets is when that full moon will rise on the opposite side. But we're currently in the time of the month where the moon is reaching its new moon phase, and the sun is essentially behind it. All of the sunlight is being reflected off the dark side, the other side of the moon, and then the side that we cannot see. But we're currently in that new moon phase, which actually so happens to be the best time of the month to actually do some stargazing, because the moon itself is its own light pollution. When the moon is in the sky, it can actually be a massive hindrance to what you can see up there, and all of the sort of fainter stars completely fade into the sky, and it's an incredibly bright object when it's up in the sky.
A short walk through the city has revealed some stunning secrets of the night sky, but there's one phenomenon that tops a lot of people's bucket lists: the Aurora Borealis, or the Northern Lights, which appear as ethereal rippling strips of colour. The Aurora Borealis happens when the sun sends out massive flares of energy called corona mass injections. These flares travel through space on solar wind before they penetrate the Earth's magnetic field and are funneled to the north and south poles. The sun's energy reacts with particles in the Earth's atmosphere to release light, and different elements release different colours like greens and reds. This light display is what we see as the aurora. And Naz has seen this celestial showstopper right here in Manchester.
So I have seen the Northern Lights quite a few times. I've seen them in several locations around the world. I've seen them in Scandinavia and Finland. I've seen them in Iceland. I've also seen them in the UK, in Scotland, and also right here in Manchester. On this evening where it was predicted to happen, I'd had word that the sun had had one of these coronal mass ejections, and this ejection of energy was absolutely massive, so it had the potential of being an incredible show, and everybody got very excited about it. On this particular evening, I was on my way to climb at an indoor climbing centre, and I got there with my partner, with my boyfriend, and as soon as I got there, I was looking at my phone and I thought, tonight's the night. it's going to happen. So I actually left him at the climbing centre and headed out into a slightly darker part of Manchester on a hill that we call Word of Low. So I got up to this hill and there was people everywhere. And that excitement was really, really nice to see. And I interacted with people whilst we were waiting, and it was very cold. Everyone was really cold, waiting, shivering, but we stood there and we waited a few hours. We started to see a very bright red appearing. And something that a lot of people don't expect about the aurora, especially when you see all of these pictures of the aurora, is that when you see it with your own eyes, you don't see the colours that vibrantly. And that's purely because cameras can capture that light in a way that your eyes cannot. That doesn't take away from the spectacle of it. That doesn't take away from the ribbons of light that whiff across the sky. But on this particular night, waiting for it in Manchester, the first instance of it that we saw was very obviously red to our own eyes. And I have never in my life seen as much colour in the aurora as I did that night. The skies were filled with reds, with pinks, with greens, purples, and I could see it all with my own eyes. And it was absolutely incredible. And I was out for an hour and a half, trying to capture all of this, trying to take pictures of it. And the fact that I was able to take pictures like that, so close to the centre of Manchester, surrounded by all of this light pollution, was really, really spectacular for me and will possibly be my most memorable experience of the aurora. It is really like watching magic appear right above your head, because, you know, it's not like you've switched it on or off. It's something that has naturally occurred in the sky, and I think the elusive nature of it as well makes it all that more special. There's a lot that we can see out there if we just look up. There is so much that you wouldn't expect, so much that you wouldn't even know about that happens on a daily basis, that if you just look up and you question what you see up there, you'll see things that not everyone sees.
I hope you've enjoyed this month's Nature Fix. For inspiration and guides to night sky watching, head to our episode show notes. And wherever you are, don't forget to look up. If you love nature, why not try out Wild Tales podcast for weird and wonderful stories about our incredible world? Or join the fun with Ranger Ray and the Wildlifers podcast for little ones. See you next time. Nature Fix is proudly sponsored by outdoor gear experts Craghoppers. Heading out for adventure? Discover Craghoppers' National Trust range of clothing and accessories. Inspired by nature and designed to last, each item in the collection comes with a guarantee for life. And with every purchase, you're helping to support the Trust's vital work restoring our natural landscapes. Get ready for your journey outdoors at craghoppers.com/national-trust.